this is The Recovery Zone, a show focused on healing our world. And as we all know, today is Christmas, and for many people here in the U.S., it's a Christian holiday, and we're celebrating family and love and connection and community. And for people who aren't Christian and who aren't even Muslim or Jewish or anything else, there's also a sense of still the humanity and connection that this holiday evokes. And today I have four more or less non-believers in the room with me who are talking about how they want to create more of that for themselves through something called the Sunday Assembly. And the Sunday Assembly was started a year ago in January by two British stand-up comedians, Sanderson Jones and Pippa Evans. And I'm going to have Tammy play a brief clip of they were in Portland 2 weeks ago, and they were trying to get it launched here. They've been going on a big tour. So could you play that, Tammy?
The Sunday Assembly, well, we are a godless congregation that celebrates the simple fact that we are all alive. And we've got this, we've got an awesome motto, which is live better, help often, and wonder more. The only thing cooler than our motto is our mission, and our mission is to try to help everyone live this one life as fully as possible. And it's very weird that it is now in Portland, though apparently this is the home of weird, so maybe appropriate that it is here. It's been a bizarre year because I started this with my friend Pippa. We're both stand-ups, and about 2 years ago we were going in a car, and it turns out that we both wanted to do something. We're like, oh, I've sort of like wanted to do church but without the God bit. And then she was like, oh, I've sort of wanted to do the church but without the God bit. And then we started, we had the first one in January this year, and suddenly we're here. It's been totally bizarre. On the first one in January, it was on January the 6th, for the 3 days leading up to it, well look, only 30 people had said yes on Facebook, and if anyone here has ever organised an event on Facebook, if 30 people say yes, it means no one is going to come. And so we were petrified, and then on the first day there were, well, it was like this, there were sort of 200 people there, then on the next one a month later there were 300, the month after that we had to go to two services, it's been, and then people started writing to us from all over the world, saying, can you bring that to us? And if we'd been sensible, we'd have gone, no. But instead we said, yes, of course, we know how to do that. And so I've ended up here. Look, the long and short of it is that the Sunday Assembly is basically all the best bits of church, but with no religion and awesome pop songs.
So that sort of gives you an overview of how the Sunday Assembly sort of views itself. And my guests here are Corinne Lehman, Jenna Padbury, Ron Handy, and Charles Radley. And just, I want to welcome all of you here. You were all at that event, right?
On Tuesday night?
Thanks, Stephanie.
Yeah. And so for you, what was that like? Maybe, Jenna, you could start just being there.
It was a lot of fun and energizing, and there was a palpable sense of community and welcome. Corinne, in fact, was, I think, the first person that I spoke to when I wandered in the door.
Uh-huh. And how about for you, Corinne?
Well, I don't often throw parties, so I was just really energized and thrilled that people came.
Right.
Because you never know. Like Sanderson said, Facebook RSVPs are unreliable, but I was about 150 plus came, and I thought the energy was just really welcoming, and people were having fun and singing lively songs, and we heard a really inspirational and lovely lecture. And the people stuck around, ate cake and vegan gluten-free cookies, and hung out and got to know each other a little bit. So I was thrilled.
And how about you, Charles?
Yes, I thought it was great. I had a great time. I thought it was very interesting. I think it fills a void. It's a different kind of community, since I'm not, you know, I'm like a lot of us here, not very religious, and a community like that, I think, is very interesting, and will fill a need for me and others.
Yeah,
have similar thoughts.
And you too, Ron?
Yes, from an organizer's standpoint, it was kind of chaotic, but I do believe we pulled it off. I got a lot of pats on the back and a whole bunch of congratulations, and everyone seems to think we did it fantastic. And so yeah, we plan on doing another one February 2nd. Uh-huh. and we're gonna keep on doing it until we
find yourself a place, huh?
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's going to be church without the God bits, basically.
Right.
But what I keep getting from, like, anybody I ask or talk to mention that I was going to do this show is, well, why do they want a church? Why do they need a church? What's a church for? I mean, you know, these are like, you know, I don't know, atheists, but then again, I'm not sure if I'm supposed to use the atheist word here. Non-believer maybe better.
It's okay. Or
but anyway, why? We've got to answer that question right.
Well, first of all, I'm not too keen on having the A word as a taboo. I think we all should be proud to be atheists. We shouldn't keep that in the closet. But on that note, I will also say that I'm a humanist. I am a free thinker, I'm a naturalist, I'm a skeptic, I am every other godless name that you can throw at me except for anti-theist.
And why do you need a church?
Well, it's not really a church at all.
Okay.
It's a congregation, and we just want community. Uh-huh. We want community, we want to do good. And it's all about celebrating life, living better, helping often, and wondering more. And
the motto, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's what we're about.
And I'll just jump in there and say that Sunday Assembly is atheistic so much as it's not going to talk about God from the platform. Uh-huh. We're not going to have lecturers come in and talk about God, but there already are people of faith in the congregation. Uh-huh. And in other Sunday assemblies across the nation, there are Christians starting them up. So Sunday Assembly just begins the conversation beyond religion to the point where we recognize we all have a lot of common. We all want to live better. We all want to help. We all want to wonder. And we want to do that together. So whether you come from any religious background or not, or have a faith or not, there's a place for you here.
So Sunday Assembly is kind of incredibly eclectic, is what I mean.
Radically inclusive.
Radically inclusive. In terms of why would people want this, is I jumped on the website and after I heard about it, and I should tell you, I'm a lifelong Catholic, cradle to maybe grave. We'll see what happens for the moment. But I've also been a lifelong, deeply inquiring Catholic, and that has been deeply, deeply ingrained in me, that it was and is okay to question and wonder and ponder, and that has led me to have wider and wider inclusivity. And so when I saw the phrase radically inclusive, uh-huh. I got really excited, uh-huh. because I want to wonder and wander and ponder and serve with other people, with as many people as possible that bring us all together.
Right.
Early on in my 20s, somebody said to me, what would it look like if we majored on the majors and minored on the minors? And I hear that theme in Sunday Assembly. It's not a denial that there is huge difference among us. It's an absolute acceptance that there's a huge difference among us. And so let's gather anyway.
Uh-huh. And just accept the fact that we're all, like, there's some core thing going on, though, like humanity or something like that.
That's been my experience so far.
So far, yeah. By the way, I want to let listeners know you can call in with your questions. The phone number here at KABU is 503-231-8187 if you want to weigh in on a church for atheists or not, or whatever we're doing here on Christmas Day. Again, the number is 503-231-8187. And so let's get a little more into your background. As you were saying, you were a Catholic to start out, right? And you still mm-hmm. do consider yourself somewhat of a Catholic?
In as much as I can't consider myself not a Padbury, you know, I was born into the Padbury family. I was raised to have Catholicism infiltrate all areas of my life. I have a master's degree in pastoral ministry through the Catholic Church. That said, I'm not currently active in a congregation. So by someone's definition, I'm not Catholic.
Uh-huh.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. You're not like the Catholic Church probably wouldn't consider you quite a Catholic. Is that how you're saying it?
At this point, they would they would probably say that I'm a fallen away Catholic.
A fallen away Catholic. And that's because, why again?
Well, because I'm not active in a congregation and I'm not trying to actively come back into a congregation at this time in my life.
Uh-huh.
And that's the church's right, you know. But I'm looking for community nonetheless. And the church used to be a primary way for me to connect and be in community. But
yeah.
Now I look for lots of different places to be in community.
And how about you, Ron? What was your background?
Well, I was raised Catholic. It just never took. I went to catechism, Sunday school. Not all the time, though. Just in certain areas.
So you're sort of, you were saying a lifelong atheist in
life?
Yes. So you're basically a non-believer since you were a kid.
Ever since I can remember.
Yeah.
Ever since I knew about the word atheist.
And how did it feel for you to be in the world with, you know, most Americans are Christian? Did you feel like you were just a strange bird or?
Yes. Yes, very.
Right.
Very, because I pretty much see everything from a naturalistic a point of view. I've always been pretty rational that way.
Yeah.
And it's just been a default setting and discovering that Santa Claus was a myth. That was pretty much the icing on the cake.
We have a caller calling in, Ryan.
It's Brian.
Brian, sorry. What would you like to ask us?
Well, I have a question I think maybe a lot of listeners out there might have. And I was wondering, wondering if they could describe the difference between what they're putting together. And it does sound very exciting to me. But I have been a member of the Unitarian Church for years. And a lot of what you're talking about seems to describe Unitarianism. And I was wondering what the difference is.
Okay. When are you going to answer that?
I'm going to try to answer that. This is Jenna. And the first thing I'm going to say is if you head to Facebook, there's actually an article on the Sunday Assembly page, I think, that discusses this from a Unitarian's perspective. I've been a little bit curious about it myself. And so as I understand it, the here in the Sunday Assembly, there's a statement in the charter that says basically, we of the Sunday Assembly as an organization don't believe in a deity, but we won't tell you that you can't believe in one. And as I understand it from the Unitarian perspective, there's sort of a default that there could be a supernatural being.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I hadn't perceived that subtlety there. The way you guys were describing it sounded...
The difference between...
But it sounds also like maybe Unitarianism. It's a Unitarian church where you can clap after a performance or something.
Okay, Charles, come on in, Charles. What were you trying to say there?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was hearing a delay. So
yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, the gentleman was asking about the difference between Unitarianism and the Sunday Assembly. And there's a couple of differences. Unitarianism operates on the basis of radical tolerance, and Sunday Assembly is on the principle of radical inclusion. And there's a difference. The Unitarian Church is overtly spiritual. I mean, atheists are welcomed, but the fact that there's an undercurrent of spiritualism amongst some atheists means that even though they're ostensibly welcomed, they don't feel welcomed. And that counts for me. I mean, there's various community groups which I think are doing good work, but I look in the charter and it says they expect their members to hold to Christian values. So I'm that just puts me off. So I think there's a lot of people that, the fact that there's an expectation that there's a spiritualism framework may be off-putting.
I just wanted to clarify, does the Unitarian Charter require Christian values? Is that what you're saying? I was just wanting to
He's asking if the Unitarian requires Christian values. Do you know that, Charles, or does it?
Say again, please.
Does the Unitarian Church require Christian values?
It doesn't require it, but the origin of the Unitarian Church is a Christian organization, and their charter, if you read through the charter of the Unitarian Association, it talks about, it's a very spiritualist charter, and okay. that people should follow us. That spiritual belief is universal.
And it does seem that people end up in these sort of various splits all the time. Even it sounds like the Sunday Assembly in New York is like getting split into two or three, and it's only been going for a month or two or something. But I want to let listeners know, you're tuned to KBOO Portland. I'm Stephanie Potter. This is the Recovery Zone. And I'm speaking with four people here from Portland who are part of the movement to start Sunday assemblies all over the world, and they want to get one going here in Portland. And if you want to call in and ask a question about it or talk to us, the phone number is 503-231-8187. And Charles, we didn't ask you then, what was your background in terms of being a Christian or not or something as a child?
I mean, the family I came from was somewhat Christian, not actively practicing, but my grandmother was Catholic. Most of my family were sort of Protestant Anglicans. I went through the British educational system, and we had a chapel and had to go to prayers every day. But it never clicked with me.
It sounds like it didn't click for a lot of people in England.
And in fact, I did pretty well at school, but the one subject I totally flunked was religious knowledge. I just didn't even understand the questions.
Okay, so that didn't work for you. Right. But Sanderson and Pippa have started this in Great Britain, and it sounds like they're just taking off, like it's snowballing there, you know, so maybe the whole English...
The British, I've noticed, living in the U.S. for about 25 years, that there is... the religion is a lot stronger in the U.S. than it is in Britain. Britain is a lot more low-key.
Yeah, we were started by Puritans.
right, so I hear. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Britain is Britain has an established church, and there are two archbishops, and there are Sunday observance laws and so forth. So the church definitely is part of British culture, just not quite as dominating.
Yeah, and how about you, Corinne? Because I know for you, this is probably even a little more fraught, this whole situation, right?
It feels I'm very sensitive to all these changes that are happening in my life. I come from a generationally rich Christian culture, lots of pastors, lots of missionaries, and just had a wonderful upbringing in the church. I was taught from a very young age that there's a plan and a purpose for my life, and that I had something to contribute, and I was given a real framework for how to treat others. And I just have a lot of gratitude for my upbringing and really connected with the culture well, and feeling a little bit of those pastoral tendencies in myself.
Yeah.
To the point where I was strongly considering going to seminary. I've been going on a journey of trying to live honestly, as my upbringing taught me to do, that God is truth and you find God as you are honest and truthful. And so I grew up not being afraid of asking questions of myself. And in my honest searching, I just had to peacefully come to the awareness that I did not actually believe that God was necessary for us to experience this beautiful life, to have the human experience as fully as possible.
And so you kind of just dropped God from your belief system in a way.
Well, I could never, I mean, dropping hints,
it's still
like
magic,
it being a choice.
And mysterious or something.
It's just a new awareness, and there's no choice around that. I never turned my back on God. It was actually always a journey towards God on that honest pursuit, and this is where I'm at. And
right now, yeah.
But I kept going to the wonderful church I was a part of for a year after I deconverted, because there was no other community I knew of who was meeting together to talk about peace and justice and reconciliation and to work that out as a community. And so I've been eager to see one with a secular mindset come together.
Right. Well, and that theme of community just keeps popping in over and over again. And I have another clip, Tammy. Hi. Yeah, could you play clip two? Because this is just some people who I met when I was there on Tuesday night a couple of weeks ago.
I wanted to kind of dig into the community here locally. I'm an agnostic, so I'm kind of in the middle. You know, I grew up as a Christian, and I'd kind of like to replace that community.
Well, being a non-believer, part of my struggle with that, actually, having a struggle, is that community, wanting that connection and those like-minded folks to hang out with and to share and still sing joy and love and songs and all of that in a community way. So I'm really hoping that this could be that grouping of people to share with and being a non-believer.
I'm hoping it'll be fun. I like the ideals that are posted on the posters and ads. Wonder more, live better, help often. Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah, so that's a lot of it. Then over and over again, I'm just hearing the word community. And is there anything else that you guys would like to just add to that whole idea of people need people is basically what I'm hearing with this, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. And besides community, we are out to do some real good.
Right, and that's another part of your motto, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's what, help often or help more or what?
Live better.
Yeah.
Help often.
Help often.
Wonder more.
Right. And maybe we could talk about that again. And actually, that's another clip, and I'm gonna make Tammy go out of whack with that a little bit. if I can find it here. Where was that one? That was... Okay, clip four. Could you play clip four?
It corresponds to self-service and spirit. You know, we think that if you are able to sort out your own life, to help other less fortunate live theirs, and to take care of the inner life, then you're probably doing all you can in this one life we have.
Activities for the motto are already up and running at the Sunday assemblies in the UK.
You know, we've got community service groups, we've got a philosophy club, we've got many things, and we just try to help people do it. We've got food drives, we've got clothing drives, we've got the beautification projects, all those sorts of things.
So what kinds of things do you guys sort of envision for the Sunday Assembly that's going to be in Portland in terms of the Help More part of it?
Well, we'd like to work a lot with the charities, and we'd like to get a lot done that way. I'm a volunteer for blood drives and basically anywhere that we can see where we can help.
And this, this is one area that gets me particularly excited, the opportunity for people to contribute. In my experience, that's what changes my life, when I actually partner with a few people to organize something to contribute. And I always find that I receive more than I give, which is a common experience. Mm-hmm. And I would just love to create a space for people in the congregation to start dreaming of how they want to give. What's the local talent? What are the local resources? What are the local needs?
Uh-huh.
And how can we all collaborate that together? I mean, maybe it's setting up a daycare center for single moms,
mm-hmm.
Or teaching philosophy classes. Instead of people having to pay for higher education, we can use the wealth of knowledge within our collective group to
right.
further our own education.
One of the things that really excites me about Sunday Assembly is the possibility of having another place for people to organize at the grassroots, and explicitly in a secular setting. This isn't a new concept, grassroots organizing. There's a pretty standard procedure on how to go about that and
right.
then adjust according to local needs, etc. But for me, the longer I've been in this conversation, the more I have heard from people that they're, because of the really strong religious influence that we have here in the United States, that sometimes folks who have a secular background and a secular view in world experience have a hard time, and I'm going to go so far as to say feel marginalized. So if that's true, community organizing is what I've been taught is the answer.
Yeah.
And so to do that collectively. So I'm super excited at the possibility of creating a space that's radically inclusive, where there's some grassroots helping of others on the whole continuum from charity to justice.
Yeah.
So the world itself is a better place.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, like one of the things I keep hearing in Sanderson Jones was this one life. You only have one life, you know, and it's here and it's now and that's it. And when I think about that in terms of the environment or other things like that, like community organizing to protect more and more of all of us for our one lives, is that kind of what you're talking about in a way?
Yeah, that's, you know, for me, I was raised in the now not yet tradition of the Catholic Church. And so, and I heard Sanderson say, the one life we know of.
Right. Okay, right? There you go.
Radically inclusive.
Right.
I, there may be other lives. The one
alternate
life
universes
we know of.
Right.
And so what are we doing with it? And how are we making it better for everyone?
Right.
You know, the common good. Absolutely.
And that this is a life we want to live as fully as possible. And I think it's a pretty common human experience that when we're contributing, when we're benefiting those around us, we feel stinking awesome. I mean, it makes life so exciting and so full of life and gratitude.
Yeah, and just the sense of connecting together around making things happen, it creates, again, the community, but also the satisfaction of really, really accomplishing stuff, you know? And do you sort of think that it might be even working with Christian churches or Buddhist churches or whatever, you know? I mean, do you think that this could bring atheism more into the mainstream of...
Absolutely.
Exactly.
All people of goodwill.
Yeah.
Exactly, and that's what we want to do.
Yeah, I think we want to bring atheism into the mainstream. For example, there's an undercurrent in a lot of religious organizations that atheism is, you know, kind of a bad thing, and I want to point out that we think it's a good thing.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And it's no worse than religion.
Right, and we have altruism too, and we just really want to get a
whole lot
done.
In other words, atheists can also be good people.
Exactly.
Not even
also
it happens. Yeah.
Yes, that shouldn't even be a question.
It's
of course we are.
We are all good people. We are fundamentally good.
Uh-huh. Okay, I want to let listeners know again, you're tuned to KBOO Portland. This is the Recovery Zone. And I'm Stephanie Potter. I'm speaking with four people here in Portland who are trying to get Sunday assemblies off the ground. And you can call in if you have any comments or questions for us. The phone number here at KBOO is 503-231-8187. And it's Christmas Day, and we're talking about atheism. And I wanted to also get us sort of asking a little bit about, see, I think what you run into with people who are more Christian, that on one hand, Sanderson Jones is saying, oh, we're going to have church without the God bits. But other people say, hey, the God bits are the core of what a church is all about. And another thing I hear is that where's the moral compass if you don't have God? And could you address that a little bit?
Yes.
And it sounds like it's there, just from what
I'm
hearing.
Our core is humanity. Humanity. We are evolving as a species. We have always been evolving a moral code. It's how we survive. It's how we coexist. This is nothing from God. It's just nature, a symbiotic relationship with the world.
So kindness, you're saying, is just kind of inherent in being a human being. Or
yes.
It's something you want to develop as a human being, whether you believe in God or not.
Exactly.
Yes, and speaking for myself personally, I'm a little, I think I'm a moral person, but I'm a little suspicious about the things like moral compass, because I get nervous about dogma and doctrine constraining thought. The debate going on about gay marriage is a case in point. A lot of people would say, from their moral compass standpoint, that gay marriage is a bad thing. I don't. I think it's fine. And so I come from a very liberal, tolerant, human rights, live and let live kind of environment. But I don't think that's means I'm immoral.
Right.
I mean, I'm very keen on human rights and protecting minorities and helping people.
I'll just throw in, too, in terms of the way I was raised, that I was never expected not to think or not to own my every action. And so religion offers a framework of morality for sure, and in lots of ways for me today still, a very informing and influential one. Mm-hmm. I am ultimately responsible for the choices I make, the ethics I live by, the moral choices of good, bad, right, wrong, black, white, and gray that I act on and act out of. And so what I'm hearing from the people that I'm coming to find out are atheists is that they have a strong sense of ownership of the decisions they make, the lives they live, and they still have a sense of collective morality and collective sense of right and wrong that is informed mm-hmm. by the collective.
Right.
Very similar, though, to my upbringing, though very distinct.
So, yeah, and you were saying something, Karen?
And it says in the charter that we may all come with a slightly different expression of what it means to live a full life, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're theistic or not, or if you're Republican or Democrat or Green Party, that's okay. We're just going to help you live that way the best as you can.
Yeah, yeah.
And that could be difficult for a lot of people. But we need difficult people in our lives. We need people to challenge us in our lives and for to embrace diversity in that way.
And it's basically then that you're challenging yourselves to be better people without the fear of going to heaven or hell.
Exactly, yeah. That really is a poor excuse for doing good. Like, do you really need a stick? Do you really need to be threatened by hell to be good? Seriously, you got to answer yourself that question.
Right. And as I was going through my deconversion process and my effort to be honest, I really kind of felt morally numb for a while. I didn't really know where my bearings were because I had relied so heavily previously on doctrine and being mm-hmm. told what was right and wrong, and just you make a choice to be good. And I had to relearn innately my own sense of right and wrong
right.
and learn how to own that. And I did. It wasn't really that hard. It was just this, you know, quick transition.
It's just
it was like kind of scary, though, because for a while it's floundering with no guiding force.
No moral compass.
Right. But right. And now I think my sense of right and wrong and how I want to contribute in the world and what it's like for me to live a full life comes from a very deep and grounded place, more so than it had ever had been before.
Uh-huh. And we have a caller. Joe, would you like to make a comment for us or ask a question?
Yeah, I'd like to ask a maybe not fully formulated question, but it's just kind of a general thought. I'm really glad to hear you talk about, you know, community organizing, grassroots organizing being kind of a pillar of what these Sunday assemblies are about or have been about. And that makes me think of how, you know, religion hasn't always been simply otherworldly. It also has a very this-worldly orientation sometimes in terms of the powers that be in the world. And sometimes that's been a matter of, you know, supporting the powers that be or, you know, being the impetus for insurrection and rebellion in a positive way. And I'm wondering how that history, either embracing it or transforming it or trying to do something different with it, Sunday assemblies members or organizationally engage with that.
Does
that make sense?
I'm not sure. Could you maybe just reformulate the question a minute? Like, just clarify exactly what you were trying to ask.
I think that religion already, existing religion, historical religion, has had a this-worldly orientation. You know, Martin Luther King, the diggers in the 13th century, abolition movements were moved by by religion, not just in the sense of fulfilling God's mission, but or something like that, but you know, with a more secular formulation of the church body's mission, and that seems to go a bit further than the idea of charity and community organizing.
In other words, people really willing to make sacrifices for their belief in God in a way.
For their sense of community, whether they articulate it in terms of God, drives them to larger political projects. And I'm wondering whether there's any larger political project of positive collective transformation in the Sunday Assembly's mission.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's going to depend largely on who shows up to Sunday Assembly and who wants to dig in and organize and
I absolutely think that is one of my hopes. I'm hoping that it could one day become a political force. I think it has a lot to offer. I think we could well make the world a better place. And I think we have values will help society. I think we might be a counterbalance to some of the other. I mean, I think we're fairly liberal, so I'm thinking it might play into the sort of the liberal progressive agenda. I guess.
Yeah.
One of the things that we, as a group, actually were talking about earlier was what might that look like. And at least for me, right now in its early stages, I see Sunday Assembly as a potential catalyst. So, for example, Sunday Assembly itself may never bring a lobbyist group together. It may say Sunday Assembly is not going to take an overt political stand. However, Sunday Assembly may act as a catalyst by simply bringing people together in the same room at the same time over and over and over again, and there people will collectively form offshoots of groups or begin to collaborate with movements already. So, for example, I imagine many people participating in Sunday Assembly may be members of the ACLU, you know, or may be helping at any number of outreach and homeless shelters and organizations. And so would Sunday Assembly necessarily lobby or go start a charity? Maybe not, but people would be connected to people that are already doing the good that they want to have happen in society, or find out about those opportunities and ideas and leverage their energies together. But we're in early stages.
Thank you.
Exactly. And we have symbiotic relationships with these groups, and a lot of us are very active. I know I myself am pretty active inside the secularity movement. I pretty much do that on the side, but I keep it separate from this Sunday Assembly. And there's a lot of and there's many of us that do have parallel agenda.
And I was sort of thinking too that it could be something where you're active and then you sort of regroup and, you know, deal with your burnout by being back in a sort of a joyful community again. But we do have another caller. Jeremy, what would you like to comment or ask?
I just wanted to make a militant atheist, offer a militant atheist quote. The world will not be safe until the last politician is hung with the guts of the last preacher. I think, you know, the idea that somehow, you know, believers are okay and non-believers are okay, but as far as I know, there haven't been any crusades to go kill believers. Crusades are led by believers to kill other believers. Yeah, but as far as I know, atheists haven't organized any wars or murdered any people.
This is maybe they just haven't been given the opportunity.
I disagree. I mean, one could argue that you know, some of the crimes by the, you know, quote communist states were committed by atheists, but I actually think that they had their own religion. You know, their religion was Marxism or Maoism or Stalinism, and I think they very much were quite religious. Anyway, I'll throw off another quote, and anarchist, which is the tradition that I come from, is someone who doesn't need a cop to tell him to obey the law.
Well, that kind of goes back to our moral compass idea, but in a
I've always wondered about the Unitarians, and I thought that was really interesting. I'd like to ask the person to speak more about that, because I've found most Unitarians I've met who are sort of, you know, busy in the political world to be quite authoritarian and clearly deist and often not honest about it. And I didn't realize that was part of the tenor of the church. I sort of understood that it was that it was Christian, but I was confused by that, and I'd like him to elaborate more on that.
Could you elaborate more on that?
Yeah, I think that's a very, very good observation. The Sunday Assembly is I think more of a live and let live, secular type of philosophy. And I guess just as an observation, it seems that a lot, you know, the you hear a lot about the religious right, okay, and the sort of the conservative authoritarianism seems to be closely linked to religion, at least in the United States, perhaps less so in other countries. And that's another reason that I am just not comfortable in religious environments, because of my I have strong political views, and you know, and I'm not trying to necessarily force my views on others, but I just wouldn't feel comfortable being like the only guy sitting in a room full of 100 religious conservatives. I wouldn't fit in there at all. So I see the Sunday Assembly as a home where people will be more of a liberal and let live, live and let live type of philosophy, less authoritarian.
That said, it's radically inclusive in folks who found themselves to be politically conservative or religiously conservative, but also really interested in exploring radical inclusivity and wanting to wonder more and to live better and to serve often or to help often would be welcome. And ideally, the Sunday Assembly is going to provide space for folks to have the complex conversations that come with people with different backgrounds and different ideas, connecting on deeper levels. The four of us sitting here, way different backgrounds,
definitely
way different ideas.
Yeah.
We keep figuring out how to be in conversation and how to support each other in our ideals to be of service to the community, for sure.
Right.
And if one day, if some Sunday Assembly gets to be really large and have a lot of social influence and power, we are still going to support a diverse group of people to live as best as they can, and we're not going to dominate other people.
Yeah. It sounds like it's almost magical if it all comes true. And why not have magic on Christmas Day? But sure. This is the Recovery Zone on KBOO Portland. I'm Stephanie Potter. And as you've probably figured out by now, we're speaking with four people here in Portland who are trying to start an organization or a congregation, a church, if you would, without the God bits, called the Sunday Assembly. And we keep talking about, there's two parts to this. I hope we can still have time to get to it. We keep talking about trying to become better people. And could you play Sanderson clip? Tammy, here, I'm going to get you again here. And again, we're out of order. But this is going to be the clip 11. And Sanderson talks here for about a minute about why he is an atheist. And maybe we can address about becoming better people through this. Clip 11.
When I was 10, my mother died, and really sucks. I think that's an understatement. It was horrific. It came out of nowhere, and suddenly the person I loved most in the world was gone. It's very hard to put it in words quite how shattering that was. It's a sort of defining psychological experience of my life. But for me, for there to be no God wasn't just an academic thing. It was something which was wrapped up right in the DNA of my soul, right in the DNA of my spirit. And I don't know when it was, I don't know, it was years after that, but there was a moment. There's a moment when I no longer, you know, I no longer just felt sad that my mother had died. I no longer just felt sad that she was no longer there. But in fact, I was just grateful that she ever loved me at all. And, you know, not just for a year or 2 years, but for 10 whole years. And that was a moment where, you know, for me, I suddenly saw that all of life is just one tremendous privilege, you know, that we can often go and look at all the things that we don't have, but to even be a living, breathing person is to have won every single lottery on earth.
So there's a sense from Sanderson that he actually became an atheist because his mother died, and he just sort of fell into it because why would my mother die? But then he ended up with this immense sense of gratitude that she had lived. And there's a sense of how we sort of come together around the huge problems that we have and then sort of evolve past that. And I see Sunday Assembly as something that's sort of working on part of what you guys did on Tuesday night when I was there was the idea was to talk about, I have these problems, and but this is how I'm coping with them. And is that a huge part of this for you guys with the Sunday Assembly?
Yes, we all have problems, and problems are best solved together. If we all have enough empathy for each other, feel each other's pain, we will all get along so much better, because that way, that will solidify our community and make us more aware of our humanity and one another.
So do you sort of see the Assembly as being kind of almost a therapy group on some level for people too?
Of course, like yes. That? Yes, very much so, because many non-believers feel a little bit of rejection by society. And we want to get over that.
Yeah.
We want to get over that, and we're kind of obligated to prove that.
Okay, Tammy, I just one more clip here. This is clip 10, and it's only 30 seconds.
It's really weird. People always find it bizarre if someone stands up and says, I've got problems. But we all do. And it's really odd. Everyone looks at you like, oh, God, he's just admitted something. This is... No, look, we might as well admit it. We've all got things we'd like to improve about ourselves. And so we're just trying to, you know... So I'm slightly selfishly doing it because, you know, I've always been trying to change. And I think this is going to be the thing, you know, this is the structure I need.
So how does that go for you guys?
Along with radical inclusiveness, I just heard Sanderson refer to radical honesty and just radical admitting honesty. The human experience. I guess I come back over and over again that regardless of worldview and structured belief systems, we have some fundamental human experiences of sorrow, of joy, of community. And that's where I see Sunday Assembly calling itself, celebrating life, celebrating the human experience, and moving forward from there into service, which is part of the human experience.
Right. And in a certain way, if you heal yourself, you're more able then to go into service for other people.
Right? Yeah, it's secular, right?
Yeah.
And hopefully we can create a culture that's much less judgmental. It's always going to have, you know, because we're humans, has some of that floating around, but we want to create a safe space for people to share their experiences with each other honestly without the shame.
Uh-huh.
And that's so often present in religious organizations. So it's a place for people to flush out their experiences with each other in a supportive environment.
Yeah, maybe I've messed up, but whether you don't have to throw in that you're a sinner around it. You can just go like, I've messed up, I need help, that kind of thing more.
I've messed up, I'm human. Yes. And did a perfectly good job of being human today. Go me.
Right. So, and do all of you see that this atheism, like where do you see it in the culture at large? Is something that's growing or something that's becoming?
Oh yes, it's always growing. It's part of the evolution of humanity. If you just go back and look at all the history of mankind, Steven Pinker speaks of it well in the book Angels of Our Better Nature, and this book has been a this book has been a guiding principle in my life, and I definitely recommend reading that book because it will show you the progress of mankind into being more altruistic, more caring. Violence is going down. All kinds of evolutionary change is happening. We are evolving beyond the need of a God.
That's how you see it, yeah.
And particularly in Portland, uh-huh. I think is a particularly secular city
yeah.
in the United States.
Well, I did see something on the Huffington Post that maybe 6% of America now is non-believer, and maybe 30% have no spiritual affiliation with anything. And so the radical inclusivity could end up with 36% of Americans or
something.
I think
the number of people who are becoming secular in their belief systems is increasing. But not only that, I think it's a bit like the gay community coming out. I think there are more atheist and secular people out there than you might think. But because of the cultural negativity, they keep quiet, and we're giving them a home to come join us. You'll find friends and a sense of community and belonging, and we can go places.
I really want to dovetail on that, on what Charles has said. I didn't knowingly know atheists before I moved to Portland, but I've come to believe I probably knew a lot of atheists uh-huh. before I moved to Portland, and that I was not a safe person to come out to.
Yeah.
And I use all of that loaded language on purpose, because at some point that analogy falls apart, but there's a cultural analogy there. I've learned how to present myself as a safe person for someone to be all of who they are, more often than not. And lo and behold, I know lots of atheists.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, the Sunday Assembly is definitely a safe place to come out of the closet if you are a closet atheist. Please, please come. We welcome you, and just come.
And if you're a believer who just wants to engage with your faith with a different language, mm-hmm. maybe slightly different form of community,
You're welcome too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I should probably chip in at this point because it hasn't come up yet. We're obviously not the only atheist organization in the world.
There are many others. Yeah.
But there are some things I think that are particularly interesting and unique about Sunday Assembly. A lot of the other atheist groups that I've been to, they're doing fantastic work, and I fully support them. But they're kind of cerebral and kind of low-key and maybe a little serious. And the Sunday Assembly, we're going to have fun. That's a big part of it. We sing, we dance. We're a little bit like the Pentecostalist churches where you see people dancing in the aisles. I mean, that's kind of what we are to the atheist community.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to play a clip, and it's probably too long to play now, but there's definitely singing is a huge part of what you guys do.
It's a bit like group karaoke.
Right. with the words up on the board, and everybody can follow along, and there's a band, and it was loud. And it was very enthusiastic.
Rockin' life.
Yeah. And the other thing about this, really quick, clip 8 and clip 9. Could you play both of those? Tammy, thank you.
I'm the designee from the family to come try it out to see whether it's something that the kids would come and will not go crazy at. I think most of it, they would have fun. I've got one that really likes singing a lot. So that aspect of that, he would get into. The other one likes to be contrarian a lot. And maybe the philosophy he would get into. But certainly the games. One of the issues we had with our neighborhood was Cub Scouts. You got to pretend to be religious. And at least in our little area, because we took the kids there and checked it out and whatnot, and the God aspect is everywhere. And so at the same time they're interested in doing something like that, they would also have to lie. And that doesn't work out so well.
There you go. So this is like a place for karaoke and singing and kids and family.
Yes,
and
bring your kids are welcome.
Way more than, say, a more cerebral atheist group is what I'm hearing.
Right. And and I should clarify, I compare this with an atheist group. And we're not, perhaps secular is a non-believer, and secular is a little little bit of description.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
right, and we're going to be doing other things besides church, like camping trips, dinner parties, just basically have fun.
One of the things I've heard Corinne talk a lot about is looking forward to the time where folks within Sunday Assembly start to organize smaller group opportunities. Uh-huh. And so there's certainly some energy around that. When you want to sing and dance and play and have a great time, Sunday Assembly is the place to be. But also there will likely be some small group in more intimate accountability options.
I told people I'd like us to see us to have a choir. I think it's great listening to people singing. I mean, we sing and dance as a sort of a karaoke thing, but I'm not that good of a singer. But it's good to hear a really good choir, for example.
And, of course, we're all working on getting these things rolling now and need other people's participation. And one thing we're working on is a children's program. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, now your kids are welcome, and later hopefully they'll have even more fun because we'll have a whole program for them.
Really, getting that organized. Yeah, so it's a family thing, and it's connected with intimacy, big, loud public gatherings, lots of different stuff is sort of envisioned, at least, with this whole thing. And could you maybe let listeners know where they can find out more about it?
Yes, we are on Facebook. If you go to your search bar, put in Sunday Assembly Portland, and we are also available on meetup.com under Portland Sunday Assembly.
So either of those. Yeah.
And our website is sundayassemblypdx.org, and you can send the email to info@sundayassemblypdx.org.
Okay. So it's pretty easy and accessible to get to it, and you're going to have another meeting in February?
Oh, we have
meetings than that.
We have...
Our next event will be February 2nd.
Your next event.
Yes, okay. February 2nd, but we do have planning meetings every week.
Okay, so you guys are really rolling now. Yeah. And the next big event is next February. Well, any last words? Just for a moment, we can say something. Anybody want to make a last comment?
Well, I think Christmas is a wonderful time for people to reflect on how to live better, help often, and wonder more. It's a very introspective holiday filled with family and friends, and we can all just live into that today.
Yeah. And thank you for the invitation to celebrate our Christmas this way with you.
Well, that's great. Yeah.
And Mary Newton Mass.
Happy Kwanzaa.
It's Newton's
happy
birthday.
Hanukkah. Excellent.
Yeah, happy all of it. Solstice. Yeah. Okay, and Merry Christmas to you. This is the Recovery Zone on KBOO Portland. I'm Stephanie Potter, and you've been hearing about the Sunday Assembly that's getting going here in Portland. And thank you for listening, and thank you, Tammy, for your engineering.
Ho, ho, ho. You're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM, 91.9 FM in Hood River in the Gorge, 104.3 FM in Philomath and Corvallis, and of course around the world at KBOO.FM. It's time for Jazz Lives, and this KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Wonder Ballroom celebrating New Year's Eve with the Motet and Juno What on December 31st. Tickets for the Motet's New Year's Eve celebration on sale now at ticketfly.com and at the door. And this KBOO program has also been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Marylhurst University dedicated to helping adults revitalize their careers by offering 5 part-time MBAs, including the Green MBA in Sustainable Business and the MBA in Healthcare Management. Evening, weekend, and online classes allow students to keep days free for work and other commitments, enrolling now for winter and spring terms. All right, a very special show today, and let's start off swinging.